Shodanandana Raja Janaranjana Vyashodanandana Raja Janaranjana Yamunatira Yamunatira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Panchatatta ki jai, Shri Prahlada Singhadev ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Amara Pastasakti jai. Jainitai Gaura Premarandi. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna. Due respect to all the God brothers, God sisters, Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis. I was asked for to choose a verse. It seems like everyone chooses a verse. So I thought I would choose one from Chaitanya Chandamrita, which you see here on the board. Who's read Chaitanya Chandamrita? Yeah, Chaitanya Chandamrita, no one's read. Prabodhananda Saraswati. Never heard. Not one hand. Oh. Wow. Okay. It's hard to hear? Okay, I'll speak. Who's read Chaitanya Chandamrita by Prabodhananda Saraswati? Okay, now we got a few more hands, but I mean Prabodhananda Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada quotes quite a few verses from this book. Dante Nidayam Padayor Nitya, and so on. This is also it's a small book. It's been available for 30 years, different publications. Probably most accurate is Bhanu Swami. And it's all about Lord Chaitanya. And if you know Prabodhananda Saraswati, who knows Prabodhananda Saraswati? A few more. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, he's very important, although he's not one of the six Goswamis, but he's a contemporary uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I won't even ask who's read Chaitanya Charitamrita, or who knows Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Okay, let's get to this verse. It's in a section of the book that's called Loka Shiksha. There are different chapters. So Loka Shiksha means advice to the world, to the general populace. So this is relevant to everybody, and of course it's very relevant to Vaishnavas. Does anybody know this verse? Well, we have a few pundits. Hare Krishna, thank you. Okay, so let's chant. And I wanted to explain this verse in a certain context, although it has other possible contexts as well. And time is very limited. I spent two of my mornings, my writing mornings, on this particular class. Probably we won't get through more than about a third of it, but that's part one. Okay. Yata yata gaura padaravinde. Vinde ti bhaktin krita punya rashi. Tata tato sarpata ritya kasmad. Radha padambo jashudambo rashi. Yata yata gaura padara vinde. Vindeta bhaktim krita punya rashi. Tata tato pat sarpati vidya kasmad. Radha padambo jasudambo rashi.
Yeah.
Punyarashi Tato Taso Suribhyakashma Ratapadam Bodha Shudam Purashi Gaurapadara Vinde Vindeta Bhaktim Rita Punyarashi Tattvata Potsara Padaryadya Kashmad Lapadam Bodha Shuram. Ladies, Aravinde Vinde Tibakti Krita Punya Rashi Tatata Korsar Padaridya Kashma Tatata Korsar Aravinde Vindeta Bhaktim Krita Punya Rashi Tata Tato Sarpati Vidya Kasmat translation, which is a little elaborate translation for meaning. One who is extremely fortunate may get the mercy. No, please. We need it for the. All right, maybe you can put it in such a way that devotees can continue to see. Okay, that's good, because we're going to refer to it. Yeah, that's fine. Is that all right with those over there? One who is extremely fortunate may get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as much as one can devote his full attention to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. To that extent, he will be able to taste the nectarian service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in Vrindavan. The more one engages in the service of Sri Chaitanya, the more one finds oneself in Vrindavan, tasting the nectar of the service of Sri Radha. So for reference, if you want to know, this is verse 88. Yes, there it is there. In a few days we'll be celebrating Gaur Purnima, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And from my experience in our Krishna consciousness movement, Vaishnavas, devotees have often themselves come up with the question of how does our preaching movement, our worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and especially our spreading Krishna consciousness around the world, relate to the cultivation of Braja Bhakti, or very often, as people use the Sanskrit terminology, for instance, your Swarup, and more specifically, how does it relate to cultivating your Manjari Swarup? I hope I'm not using forbidden phrases here. But, and of course, the certain Vaishnav societies or certain Vaishnav groups certainly have been challenging ISKCON since its inception, its ability to actually deliver the goods. And by deliver the goods, I mean to actually enable people to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone knows that phrase, to go to Goloka Vrindavan and to become a bridge basi in some particular service of Radha and Krishna, be that may as it's described here in the mood of Madhurya Ras or in some other rasa or relationship, servitude, friendship, parenthood, and so on. Very often the charge that's lodged against us is that actually ISKCON teaches Vaidhi Bhakti, regulative devotional service, and as Krishna states in Chaitanya Charitamrita, regulated devotional service leads to Vaikuntha. That we don't give any particular emphasis to spontaneous devotional service that's otherwise known as Raga Bhakti. This verse points out that this is an absolute fallacy, and it explains why. And if you don't mind, I want to just explore the details of this verse, because like many of the words of the Acharyas, they are very deep, very significant, and often with the wealth of literature that Srila Prabhupada has given us, we tend to read. Prabhupada did ask us to read his books, but he also mentioned the word to study. In fact, with Nectar of Devotion, he talked about memorizing. I sometimes ask this question from devotees. When you're reading books, who actually, as you're reading, reads the Sanskrit out aloud or to yourself? And who skims over the Sanskrit or Bengali? And especially the word-for-word meanings. And usually, most devotees that I've encountered do neglect to really see, well, what is it that the author is originally saying? Of course, that's being perfectly portrayed by Srila Prabhupada's words. And at the same time, what is the flow, the melody, and the meaning of those verses? So this is one such verse, and it gives the answer to this question that I posed, and the answer is yes. By preaching and by practicing sadhana, sadhana bhakti according to the process given us by Rupa Goswami, and particularly filtered or given to us by Srila Prabhupada, that will enable devotees to achieve the perfection that Srila Prabhupada always talked about, which was go back home, back to Godhead in this life, in one life. Okay, so you see in this verse it says jata jata gaura pradara vinde, and then it says tata tata sarpa ridya kasmat. So jata jata tata tata, this is a these two verses set up a certain type of dynamic or tension in which one implies the other. That the first two lines imply one thing, and the second two lines something else, and they're connected. So here you have the yata yata, when to the degree that someone worships Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to that degree, automatically, their relationship with Srimati Radharani naturally develops. Automatically. It's going on. It may not be apparent to others. In fact, it may not even be apparent to the practitioner until a certain stage of devotional service. But this is what Lord Chaitanya came to give. So, yata yata, tata tata. As much as you serve Lord Chaitanya, to that degree, it develops. So it's a proportional arrangement. That means you give 20% service here, you get 20% development there. You give full service, and you have full development on the other side. This methodology comes up in different verses, different parts of Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm just reading one verse, which is a well-known verse. At least devotees who have read the 11th canto, this is Krishna speaking. He says, Yata yatatma parimimjate so mat punyagata shavanadi bidhanai tata tata paschati vastu sukshmam chakshur yatai vanjana samprayuktam. He says, when a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. So this is just the example that's given now. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle spiritual form. So, yata, yata, tata, tata. In this verse, the same thing is said. As much as you chant and hear, to that degree, you get realization of Krishna. And now here Krishna is saying to actually get realization of Krishna's form. I don't know, a more mundane example is, for instance, you can say, to the degree that you're mobile, to the degree that you perform exercises, to that degree you are healthy. So health is proportional to exercise. We have the situation of being quite immobile often in our services. In other words, that especially myself, sitting behind desks and sitting in a chair, it's a very, over a long period of time, very unhealthy situation. So unless we move, the best exercise is kirtan, dancing and chanting. Unfortunately, at a certain point in life, you realize that you can't dance and chant in the same way. Of course, yoga, simple yoga exercises are said to be the number one way of actually keeping the body fit. But anyway, that's the proportion. To the degree that you perform, for instance, yoga, to that degree, your body will remain relatively healthy. Okay. So here the real key that we're looking at is yata yata gaura padara vinde. Somehow or another, how we're getting the continual mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada had said this so many times, how it's not difficult to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. If Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he's already so merciful, that getting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, or if I put it the other way, not to get it, one has really have to have done something extraordinarily outrageous. Like Jagai Madai, you commit a very serious Vaishnav aparad. So here it says, and sort of a disadvantage of not having the translation on the board, is Vindeta Bhaktim Krita Punya Rashi. This word Rashi means a large quantity, a multitude. So to the degree that one performs pious acts, one may actually find the privilege of rendering bhakti or devotional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this goes back to the question is how we come to Krishna consciousness. We have here, it says you have to perform a multitude of pious acts. Now, piety here doesn't mean planting trees or digging wells or even building hospitals and the stuff. Here, piety really means that one performs some devotional activity. And those devotional activities may be that one has already rendered devotional service in their past life. Ramaswamy Maharaj Prabhupada had said that quite often, isn't it, that in our past life. Yes, thank you. I guess without a microphone, that's as... For me, you're always a Maharaj. Hare Krishna. He was the greatest enthusiast and still is for book distribution. Beat the drum, our Sankirtan newsletter. So, the devotees have actually been devotees in our past life. Krishna also says, Atavam yoginam eva kule bhavati dhibata. So some persons become yogis or take birth in the families of yogis, suchinam shimitam gehe, but some who are very fortunate take birth in the family of devotees. That's why our children who take birth in the family of devotees, then they're very, very special. Most of our older folks, we took birth in the families of non-devotees who may have been relatively pious. But somehow or another, you had to start the fire, and that's what we had to work with. There were not many devotees in the Western world when Srila Prabhupada came. So one is that one is a devotee in one's previous life. Rupa Goswami starts off Nectar of Devotion in this way, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The other, of course, is that one has had and was fortunate to get sadhu sangha, to really get the association of Vaishnavas, somehow or another, by the association of a devotee, one comes to devotional service. There's the example, I'll just say it very briefly, of one of our godbrothers in Mumbai, who was a professional thief. And he noticed that Srila Prabhupada had a very good quality watch. And he started coming to the programs to steal Prabhupada's watch. Anyway, he's still a devotee now in Mumbai. You were a thief too? Oh, you're from Mumbai. Okay. And of course, that's what happened to some other thieves to Lord Nityananda by trying to steal his ornaments. They also became Vaishnavas. So it's not the ideal way to get sadhu sangha. Better to hear. But even that way, the association of Vaishnavas, especially of great Mahabhagavatas, or of course the Lord himself, Lord Nityananda, or extraordinary empowered person like Srila Prabhupada, any way that you get in touch. Srila Prabhupada was walking down the street, I don't know of what city, someone can call it out if they know, and he was walking on the sidewalk, and you know, between the cracks in the sidewalk, there was some grass growing, just a few pieces of grass. So Prabhupada pointed and says, demigods have come to take the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. True story. So somehow or another, to get that tatra lolya molya me kalam janma koti sukriti tanabhyate, just to get that 1 second association, what to speak of longer association, and then agyata sukriti, drunks are on the street while we're doing Harinam and they imitate and they're also singing Hari Hari Rama Rama. They're beginning their spiritual life, receiving some prasadam. So many ways, agyata, unknowingly, one has contact with some devotional element, be that a devotee, prasadam, the holy name. People just purchase the book, and this is in the Gita Mahatmya, but of course, Srila Prabhupada had also said, if they read a page, if they read one line, if they just read one word, their lives will become perfect. He was referring to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So just one word. Because it's transcendental sound vibration. It's it may look like any other word, but it's words which have descended, come down to us from Sukadeva Goswami through the mouths of our disciplic succession. So there's so much power. There's so much extraordinary power infused into these things. And people even like that. And of course there's so many stories of devotees who have become devotees, either their parents, relatives got a book, or somebody found a book or magazine in a garbage can, or even they were on the verge of committing suicide and just somehow or out of nowhere came a publication of the society. So people come to Krishna consciousness like that, and by that sukriti, then they're able to actually engage in bhakti, gaura padara vinde. And of course we say, well, all right, what is devotion? What is devotional service? Well, everyone agrees that devotional service is the navaanga bhakti that Prahlad Maharaj says, shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, padasevanam, and so on. With special emphasis on harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam. Indeed, all these other activities, they have to be connected somehow or another with the chanting of Hare Krishna. So, kirtan is there. What else do we do? Of course, we follow our Mahajans. Who are Mahajans? Mahajana Jena Gata Sapanta. All right, there's Narada, Shambhu, Bhishma, and so on, Bhishma Dev. But our immediate Mahajan is Srila Prabhupada, and Panchatattva. There are Mahajans. Mahajana Jena Gata Sapanta. What is that panta? What is that path? What is the route which they themselves chalked and showed by their own personal example? And of course, of all of these Mahajans, one is considered to be very significant, and that is Rupa Goswami. He's significant because we're all named after Rupa Goswami in the sense that we are Rupanuga Vaishnavas. So Rupanuga means we practice devotional service in the way that Rupa Goswami presented it to us, in the way that bhakti or devotion was presented by him under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Lord Chaitanya instructed certain devotees. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, to compose transcendental literature. And he gave each of them very specific context. There's a very wonderful section right at the end of Jiva Dharma where Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what was the empowerment that Lord Chaitanya gave to his most Mahajan followers. And of course, aside from his writing books, but we say that on a regular basis, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Isn't it interesting that Srila Prabhupada included that verse in, you know, our first Bhagavad Gita, that was part of the Mangala Charna, part of the invocation. So, to establish the, or to actually facilitate the mission that Rupa Goswami established in this world, he established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And what was that? Prithiviti Achyatra Nagaradigram. To spread the chanting of the Lord's holy name to every town and village. So when we talk about bhakti, what is this Gaura Padaravinde? What is the bhakti to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It means these two things. Apana Achari, Koriya Prachar. It means to preach and to also practice. Both things have to be there. There is sometimes a tendency for devotees that we really spend a lot of energy in preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness and talking about Krishna, which should be done, but at a certain point it comes to the extent, at the expense of actually studying, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and understanding just exactly what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and how it's meant to be achieved. What is Lord Chaitanya giving us? So what's the result of that? Well, the result is that due to this devotion to Gaura, then that devotion which is in a devotee's heart, one will... And now here, this is in the words. Tata tat ut sarpati. Ut sarpati. Ut sarpati means to go upwards, to glide up. Now usually you don't glide up, you glide down. But here it says glide up. So it's a mountain. It's extremely difficult to attain. This is how Narottam Das Thakur concludes his prarthana, that the path of Raja Bhakti is very slippery, very difficult to actually navigate. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, something that is a real uphill climb, that you're gliding up, you glide up by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So this is in that word, ut sarpati, Riddhakasmad Radha Padamboja Sudamburashi. So one glides upwards and becomes the proprietor, the recipient of lots of nectarian water from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So the real thing is, once again, yata yata tata tata, how much of this Gaura Bhakti is present within our heart? How much Gaura Bhakti as a credit have we assimilated, especially in our lifetimes, once we start hitting older age? Then what have we done to spread this Krishna consciousness movement and to actually perfect our own spiritual life? Ridya kasmat is present within the heart. So how much kirtan have we done? How have we become detached? How much knowledge have we acquired? Vairagya vidyara nija bhakti yoga siksaka irtam purusham purana. So this is what bhakti yoga is. Vairagya vidyara nija bhakti yoga. Renunciation and knowledge. They come side by side, of course. The more that you become learned, the more you become renounced. And Srila Prabhupada would quote Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and how many books have you written, and how many temples have you opened, and how many devotees have you made, and what have you contributed to this Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutaye? To Rupa Goswami's assisting Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And our Panchatattva in furthering the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For what Chaitanya Charitamrita describes as being the external reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And that's a very interesting topic, which we don't have so much time for, but how Kaviraj Goswami talks about Lord Chaitanya's internal mission and external mission. The internal one was for he himself to be relishing the mellows of devotional service, and the external is to get the world to dance and chant in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada used this word automatically. And here's where this automatic comes in. Jata, jata, tata, tata. So as much money as you put in the bank, to that degree you're going to get interest. Well, nowadays they don't give much interest. In fact, nowadays they charge you to put money in the bank. But in days of yore, they used to give lots of interest. When I first opened my bank account, I was getting 8% interest. That was very young. It was part of our school. It was part of our great school obligation to open a bank account. So on one day at the local bank, you had a whole slew of 10-year-olds standing in queue to open their bank account and deposit their dollar or something like that, which was a lot of money in those days. So yes, we glide up. So one becomes the proprietor of the water of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Now when we talk about this being a proprietor of the water of the water that has washed Radha's lotus feet, you're generally talking about a position of servant or servitude. So here the implicit statement is that one becomes a servant, maidservant, because men can't serve Srimati Radharani. Only females can serve. So this verse very nicely answers this question of how does this Krishna consciousness movement and how do our members attain this destination of becoming a Manjari? How does their spiritual identity manifest? You're not making this conscious effort to chant 64 rounds a day, Tishta Brajetad Anugami Jananugami, and you should live in Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami says, well, you should live in a holy place, or just retire and live in Vrindavan, or just stay there in your youth and chant Hare Krishna and hear about Krishna's intimate pastimes. And but that is not the path that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted in order to spread Krishna consciousness. There were these two paths. One is the exoteric and one is the esoteric. And the Dayananda Goswami or the followers of Prakeshwar Pandit, that was the process that was given to them. This is again Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But the process that's given to Raghunath Das Goswami was that yata yata tata tata, you practice Krishna consciousness and keep the other things internal. The internal natural development comes within the heart, and gradually devotees become more and more aware of it. Just last week, I had one devotee, a good friend, and we were talking, and so he was asking, well, I'm getting these thoughts, and I'm getting this inspiration as I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm not doing anything for it, it's just coming automatically. Because that's what the verse says, that as you render devotional service to Krishna, you become spontaneously, naturally attracted. I'm mentioning something that really should be known, because we should know where we're going and how we're going to get there. And there's also specific sadhana that leads there, that sadhana that goes on succession after the perfection of regulated devotional service. If I get there, I'll get to quote to Srila Prabhupada. Now we've gotten to part two, so I sort of zoomed through a little, through the word for word. I wish we would have had a little more time. There's so much to unpackage there. But at the same time, devotees should not enter into things for which they are not qualified. So it's a very fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna mentions this on several occasions also in the Bhagavatam, Svesi Karmani Abhirata. So that, that wasn't what I wanted to. That one should progress forward in spiritual life according to one's qualification, according to one's attainment. That becomes then the right to purchase the next step. Like you go up a flight of stairs. So if you've gotten past the first flight, then you can get to the second flight. There's no point trying to jump up to the second flight if you haven't gotten to the first flight. So it's a sequential, natural development. And that's how we should go. I'll remember that verse. So what about this idea? Well, why can't I just retire to the Dham and worship Krishna? And that's a long topic. But one answer is because it's very difficult. It's a very difficult process. If you want to worship now Krishna without putting emphasis on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami gets very explicit and he gets very strong. He says people who want to worship Krishna and to neglect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are demons. So especially Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's like a real, I won't say the word fanatic because it has bad connotations, but he's very, very heavy when it comes to certain statements. So, like, for instance, in another one of his books, Vrindavan Mahimamrita, devotees have seen that book or read that book? Okay. There's a lot of books to read, and it's okay. Prabhupada said it's okay, especially if you can get BBT versions, publications. They will be coming, hopefully, in due course of time. BBT has a real quality production method, and that quality often takes quite a long time. So Rupa Goswami in, and I, this is the verse beginning with Sadhana Anughar Anasangar, and I'll just read the translation, or at least I'll explain it. He says, devotional perfection is very difficult to attain. And he says, for two reasons. Why is that? One is because to attain Krishna, or to attain love for Krishna and get Krishna's mercy, you have to have attraction for him. You have to have affection for him. Ado shradatata sadhu sangha bhajana kriya narta nivritti nishta tataruchi tatasakti. So he's saying that you have to go in a sequential process. In order to get to bhava, you have to have asakti. But he's saying asakti is difficult to attain, so you have to get asakti. Even if you have attraction to Krishna, and even if you're attracted to Krishna, then still, Krishna doesn't give perfection very easily. It's not an automatic thing. Even once one has reached there, still Krishna takes his time. He makes you beg for it. He brings you down to your knees. Or at least, if you want it, you have to really, really want to beg for it. Because to get love for Krishna means that you control Krishna. And Krishna just doesn't put himself in the hand of anyone and everyone. So he says, for these two reasons, it's very difficult to actually to attain perfection in Krishna consciousness. So one should, rather than just trying to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, approach Krishna directly, we need to go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many times Srila Prabhupada was saying, don't try to jump over, go through. So similarly, we go through the disciplic succession, through our Mahajanas, we go through our Six Goswamis, we go through the Panchatattva, we go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's how we get. So, a certain question arises, and of course, when Lord Chaitanya appeared, he really wanted to. He wanted to give again the spontaneous devotional service of the Brijbasis in four different mellows. Fourth chapter of Adi Lila. Who has studied that fourth chapter of Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yes, very, very important, because this really, all of those chapters, initial chapters, is very difficult in one sense. Some of them are quite a lot of philosophy, but especially when it comes to Lord Nityananda's tattva. But nonetheless, why has Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared? And he's appeared to give that which has been lost and actually not been practiced for a long, long time. So, anarpitam charim chirat karinava tirana kalo sama arpayitom an utojjvala rasasva bhakti shriyam. So this anutojjvala ras, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ras, that is one of the 14 key verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendently situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in this age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give that mellow of conjugal love. Even friendship, especially servitude to Krishna, was existent, but conjugal love, up until the time of Madhavendra Puri, had been sort of an unknown, had been lost. I'm going to read the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport and explanation, and how Kaviraj Goswami elaborates on all of these verses. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. That doesn't mean that other things are not relevant and that devotees cannot acquire the other mellows of devotional service. They are also there. We see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Nityananda's cowherd boys are there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, gopis, we see Advaitacharya, Lord Shiva, Mahavishnu. So everybody is perfectly situated in their own specific mellow. This is one of the perfections of Vaikuntha thinking, is that everyone is perfect. Wherever you are, whatever you're situated, however you're serving the Lord, it's the best way for you. But still, Srila Prabhupada would say, in a comparative analysis, this is considered to be the sweetest, most relishable, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the opportunity for devotees to actually relish this mellow of devotional service. I have to stop at this point because it's 9 o'clock, and I won't go any further. But there's a lot further to unpack, and especially emphasis on Srila Prabhupada's books. I will just, which of course Srila Prabhupada said, if the beginning, we don't, if we don't chant and if we don't study Srila Prabhupada's books nicely, then ultimately one will fall down. So that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada has given a perfect formula. We have to actually follow it. I'm looking for something. So, can devotees ask the question, well, what if someone has eternal relationship with Krishna as cowherd boy or in some kind of other relationship, can it be changed? I just want to read here what Srila Prabhupada says. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Thus, devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who engage in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude, and neutrality. When such devotees develop great attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too can become situated within the intimate circle of devotees in conjugal love. Srila Prabhupada's books. You can gloss over it if you're not careful, but it's there. Everything's there. We have to actually study it very carefully. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is really unlimited. He's coming to give us this wonderful access if we actually want to go there to Srimati Radharani's eternal service. But you do have to work for it. So first you, what did Prabhupada say? First aspire and deserve. So, but at a certain point you come to deserve. You deserve it. But we have to work for it, and it requires that we think, how am I going to actually render this service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I can actually come to this stage of perfection that's being described in this verse. So celebrating Gaur Purnima is not just a ceremony, it's not just a festival, it's not just a feast, it's not just a good time to dance and chant. What did Lord Chaitanya come for? And are we making the most of what it is that he's actually given us? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much. Jai Sri Sri Radha Madhava ki jai.
Yes,
no, I must have such an arrangement.